lesson today is found in the Gospel according to Luke, the 2nd chapter. We find in the beginning of this chapter that Caesar Augustus made a decree that all that were in the world of the Roman Empire should be taxed. This taxing took place when Cyrenius was governor over Syria, and all went up to be taxed unto their own city. This Caesar Augustus, he was a nephew to Julius Caesar. All the Roman emperors bore this title, Caesar, but the Senate gave this man this addition to it, Augustus. From then on, all the Roman emperors were called Caesar, but had a name added to it, such as Caesar Tiberius, Caesar Claudius, Caesar Nero, until the destruction of the Roman Empire. This emperor then gave this decree that everybody under the Roman rule should be taxed. This word taxed should be translated into enroll. But whether now they went up to have a census taken, whether it was to be enrolled to have their property taxed, as later on we find in Scripture that such was the case, they had been taxed. The commentaries are silent to this extent. They all take it to be a census, and we will take it so too. They had to go to the same city in the tribe from which they had came from. This taxing which Caesar commanded to be done was by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. It was God that inclined the heart of this ruler to order these people to their separate cities for this purpose. God had his eye upon the Scriptures. He never takes his eye off them. And what he has spoken will certainly take place. His counsel shall stand, and he shall fulfill his word, even unto 1,000 generations. And he had, by the prophecy, spoken that the child Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And therefore this emperor made this decree. We see in this that kings rule by him and princes decree justice. And we see that God keeps his word. Have you a word from him? Have you ever had a promise of him in your life? Then you may be certainly sure that he has his eye on it, and that he most certainly will fulfill his word. In your particular case, likewise. He never goes back on his word. When he speaks and he commands, it stands fast. He is faithful to his word. Have you ever found him to be so for your own heart and soul? This then took place so that we find Mary and Joseph also had to go up to be taxed. We find in Joseph also went up to be taxed out of Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, who was great with child. And Joseph, he was born of a man by the name of Jacob. His grandfather's name was Nathan. It is written of him that he was a just man, a God-fearing man. How many have we amongst us such? He was looking for the consolation of Israel, looking for the coming of the Messiah. And now he had been married to this Mary, but they had agreed to live apart for a while. And while they were living apart, he noticed that she was pregnant. And when he noticed this, he began to revolve in his mind what he should do. And he planned to put her away privately. He decided upon this because he couldn't live with a person as she was. But now, an angel of the Lord came unto him at night in a dream, and spake unto him, and said, Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for what is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall give birth to a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He was exhorted then by an angel to take his wife and not to be afraid to live with her. He lived with her in his own house for 6 months, and we find that they're going up now to the city of Bethlehem to be enrolled there. And Mary, as she likewise was of the house and lineage of David, she was of the tribe of Judah, but nowhere in Scripture do we find the register of her parents. Their names are not written. The commentary says the name of her father was Joachim and the name of her mother was Anna. She was a God-fearing soul, and she was the one that had been chosen by God for this particular purpose, to bring the Savior into the world. And we find them going up to Bethlehem. Bethlehem was in the neighborhood of 60 or 70 miles from Nazareth. Joseph lived in Nazareth in Galilee. This city, Nazareth, was noted for its wickedness. The Lord Jesus Christ lived in this city 30 years of his life and worked there as a carpenter, just as his father did. They left this city then to go up to Bethlehem. The wonder of it was this. They both knew Scripture. They knew that Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem, and they lived in Nazareth, 60 or 70 miles away from Bethlehem. And as she was great with child, she had a very legitimate excuse not to go up there. In fact, they even planned to have the child in Nazareth. They never thought of moving to Bethlehem and saying to each other, well, the Scripture says he has to be born there, let's move over there. No, they awaited the time that God would open the way that they would have to go to Bethlehem. And here he did. He opened the way for them. And now, irrespective of her being in this state and having every good reason not to go, she still went. And when they got to Bethlehem, we find that this town was crowded with people. They had a week. They didn't just go there and write their names on the book and go away. There were so many people there, they had to wait. And while they were waiting there, the time came, designated by God, that she should give birth to a child. The days were accomplished that she should be delivered. My hearers, in this text, there lays a base of comfort for God's people. There are many that are just like Mary in a spiritual sense. If God has come down into your heart with his blessed Spirit and has given you a new birth, then you are in pangs. You're in pain at times. When will I find Jesus for my own soul? When will I have that blessed assurance that he is my Savior? Are there any listening to me that are burdened with this, that have been waiting a long, long time? I would say, when the days are accomplished, when God looks in his book and he sees that day is there that you have to be delivered, and you will certainly be delivered. And not till then. There may be some listening to me and saying, oh, I wish that day would come speedily for me, and I do too. I wish that day would come for everyone that's waiting for the consolation of Israel, and that God may give you that joy and that peace that accompanies a revelation of Christ to your immortal soul. The days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. We have in this sentence a wonderful announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ in this world. Just a short sentence. She gave birth unto her firstborn son. Take particular notice of the humility of his birth. Take particular notice that likewise, when he was born, it was an unexpected thing for her. She didn't expect him to be born just then. She had no preparations for his birth. How many mothers listening to me? There may be some even at this present time that expect a child. And all long before the child is to come, all they're planning where the child is going to be, what kind of a bed they're going to have for it, what kind of clothes they're going to have for it. They have all sorts of layouts. And they're preparing long before the time comes that they will have what's necessary for this newcomer. Nothing of the kind here. There wasn't anything. When he was born, she had to take rags. Swaddling clothes, it says. Commentary says she took rags, she tore them, and she bound this child in these rags. It was customary amongst the ancients to take particular attention to the binding of their infants. They bound them with these rags for the simple reason that they feared that if they had a sudden jerk or a sudden fall, why then the body would be distorted. Therefore, they took good particular attention to this. She likewise, she took what was close at hand, and she bound this child with these rags called swaddling clothes. And she laid him in a manger. There are no mangers used in the East. They don't have any. We must then take this word manger for a stable. He was then born in a stable. Maybe there were wooden boxes out of which the animals were fed. And probably she laid him in one of these wooden crude boxes because there was no other place to lay him. And it says that she took the rags and she bound this child with them. Now the commentary says, they believe, that she had no pangs as other women do when they give birth to a child. And that immediately she was able to take care of this child. She bound it with rags. She did it herself. And now we find that there was no place for them in the inn. The commentary says there was only one inn in Bethlehem. And this place was filled with people. Naturally, those that had the most money, they had the places in the inn. Now, Mary and Joseph were poor, so they had a shift for themselves. There wasn't anybody that was kind enough to invite her and him into their house to sleep, seeing the condition she was in. So they had to go to a place where poor people went. This word stable, as the commentary says, shouldn't be taken just as we would take it for a stable. But it was a place where they had accommodations for poor people that were traveling. And they would put these people up with the animals that they traveled on in these caravanes, they called them. And there they would remain overnight. This was then the place where Jesus entered into this world. take notice. In a place like this, he was born, and the first bed that he had was a crude wooden box out of which the animals ate. The Lord of life and glory. What a humble birth, my hearers. How different when we have had children and they came into this world, and how different they are even to this day. All this was also by the providence of God. He wasn't born in the palace. He wasn't born in the beautiful bedroom. He wasn't born with such beautiful clothes as we put upon our children. But here he was born in this humble way, so that nobody throughout the ages that this world shall stand will have anything to say, "Well, Jesus was born that way. He had this and he had that." He was born in this way, so that all mouths would be stopped in this respect. And my hearers, of this child being born, the prophecies that were spoken of him were fulfilled. We heard Mr. Den Hollander read out of the third chapter of the book of Genesis. There's a promise in that chapter, given by God unto Adam and Eve, that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. This was the seed of the woman. We find Jacob on his deathbed prophesying that the Shiloh cometh. Here the Shiloh appeared in the world. Fulfillment of Scripture, my hearers. Or we find Isaiah speaking that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. God kept his word and fulfilled it to every letter of it. Here this virgin gave birth to the Savior of her own soul, and also to the Savior of every soul for whom he came into this world. Oh, what a wonder this must have been for this woman, bringing forth this child and knowing that it was to be the Savior of the human race. And we find that after this had taken place, in such an obscure place, hidden from everyone, nobody heard about it, nobody knew anything about it, would it go on just like this? Oh no, God take care that this birth would be announced. And we find that there were shepherds watching their flock by night. And they were in the field taking care of their sheep. And as they were talking probably with each other, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared unto them, came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel spake unto them and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you glad tidings this day, for unto you is born in Bethlehem a Savior, namely Christ the Lord." Here we have an announcement from heaven of the wonderful birth of Christ, and that to shepherds. Common, ordinary men. Notice what they were doing. They were taking care of their flocks. They were doing their daily occupation. They were immediately surrounded with a wonderful light from heaven. For angels, they dwell in the immediate presence of God. And whenever they descend, they reflect the light from him upon whom they wait. And when this surrounded them, they were sorrow-free. They never had a visitation like this in this life. They never had an angel come to them and speak to them. And you may be sure they were terribly afraid. Maybe they thought, "Well, this is the end for us. This is the end of the world." They knew not what happened. Suddenly, this came, and then at night, in the darkness. And when this angel speak to them, he spake such suitable words. Fear not, he says to them, because they were filled with fear. For I bring unto you glad tidings. Oh, they had never heard these tidings in their life as they were going to hear them now. For this angel proclaimed unto them, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, namely Christ the Lord. Oh, I could just picture them, shepherds receiving this word. That particular word, you, all that meant everything to them. For if he had just said, for unto this world is born this day a Savior, it wouldn't have amounted to much for them. But when he said, for unto you, oh, that went home by them. They received that. Oh, they were given to believe that this Savior, whom this angel announced, was their Savior, was their Lord, was their Redeemer. Oh, they received this message by faith, and they believed what this angel spake unto them. Oh, what a proclamation this was for these shepherds, such mean and lowly creatures. They were given first to hear of this birth, and it was for them too, personally, individually. And now, my hearers, the angel, after proclaiming this to them, he immediately was surrounded by a multitude of angels. A grand choir of angels came down from heaven and began to sing, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill to men. Oh, this song that these angels sang was a perfect song. There was not a jarring note in it. There was no one that was out of tune. Oh, it was a wonderful song. It's the employment of angels to praise God, to sing to his glory. These shepherds were given to hear something of what they do in heaven above, of what the employment of angels are. Oh, what a wonderful music this was to these men on this field, surrounded by this glorious light. These angels proclaimed then the glory of God, and immediately they departed from them. Oh, my hearers, this what the angels spake unto the shepherds. It was glad tidings to them, as he had said. All this proclamation came so unexpectedly. We know not what they were doing, speaking with each other. Probably they had often spoken with each other and said, I wonder if in our lifetime the fulfillment of that promise shall take place. I wonder if we'll see Jesus, the Messiah, in the flesh. They probably had spoken with each other and had questioned whether this would ever be while they were alive. But here, suddenly, unexpectedly, they were given to hear it. There lay something in for some poor soul, maybe. There may be some soul listening to me that likewise has such outgoings of heart to Jesus, at times such burning desires and yearnings to find him. You know anything about my hearers? Are you ever laboring in your soul to find this Jesus? And how many times hasn't it come up in you, will I ever find him? Will it be in my lifetime? Do I have to die and then find him? I fear if I die, it'll be lost because I do not have him. I think this was the conversation of these shepherds. They too looked forward for his coming. Oh, they did not possess him either. And all many times God's dear children are in such darkness These shepherds, they were on the field, and it was at night. And you know, when you're in nighttime and your soul's feelings, you don't have much expectation. Oh, there's so many doubts and so much unbelief, and there's such a host of enemies that come up and surround a soul and try to take every comfort away that you have had in your life. And oh, there's so many questions arising in your own mind, and it's so dark and so dreary. And you know, when it's at the darkest time, and then it pleases the Lord to come down sometimes with a flood of light. And oh, when he comes down into the soul, as this angel descended with these shepherds, oh, they were immediately surrounded by heavenly light. And when this takes place inwardly, my hearers, oh, then light goes up in our darkness. And oh, what a change takes place. And then we hear sometimes the Savior's voice speaking to us. Have you ever heard it? Fear not, for I am with thee. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. All these fear not, these promises that he gives us. In the world that we are traveling through this world, we wouldn't want to be without them. Oh, they're so sweet. They're sweeter than honey. And when we receive them, why, we eat them. They are to the joy and to the rejoicing of our soul. Have you ever had something like that, my hearers? Are you all strangers to this, what I'm talking about? Has it never been nighttime by you, and suddenly you've been inflamed by the Spirit and heard his wonderful voice and been encouraged in this way? Oh, what a mercy to have something like this in this life. And all when this takes place, my hearers, then our souls are on fire from heaven. And then we receive the word by faith, just as these shepherds received the message of the angel by faith. And all, my hearers, when this takes place, and then the heart goes out, yearning and desiring the fulfillment of what you have received. All these desires, these longings, they are so sweet, especially when they're lively, when there's life in them. You know anything about it, my hearers? Have you no longings, no desires for Jesus? No feeling whatsoever in your heart after him? How poor are ye? If you have, let me give you a little comfort. You may say, well, I don't know where those desires come from. I don't know whether they're true. I don't know whether they are from God or they're from my mind. Let me ask you another question. Have you ever had them before? When you're in a state of nature, you never have any desires after Jesus. You never have any need for them. When we're dead in trespasses and sins, there's no comeliness in him. There's no desire that we should want him. And now tell me, where did those desires come from? Why are they again and again enlivened in your soul? Who puts them there? Oh, those weak and those feeble desires. It is Jesus that inspires them, my hearers. And would he then put those desires in your soul and not grant you those things that you are desiring? Most certainly he will. He will grant the desire of every living thing, it says in the Bible. And he will grant the desires of the righteous. They shall not be made ashamed. And these shepherds, they received this wonderful message. And they received it in faith, I said. And now when these angels had departed into heaven, we find the results of their faith. They didn't just stay there and say, well, what shall we do now? Was this true now? Was it from God now? Oh, what shall we do? Stay here in this field? No. And they immediately made work of what they had heard. They said, come, and let us go to Bethlehem and see what the Lord hath made known unto us. And by faith they left their sheep, their flocks in the field, and off they took to Bethlehem. They weren't very far from it. And we find that they came to Bethlehem. of the angel had said, ye shall find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. These were the signs that the angel gave. They weren't to look for him then in the palace. They weren't to go to the king's house or to any rich person's house. They were to look for him in the poorest and the meanest place. There they would find him. Oh, my hearers, wouldn't you want to be with those shepherds? They came with haste, it says, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. Oh, when they came there and they saw this child, I was meditating upon that. I said to myself, I don't think that they said a word. They just feasted their eyes and their feelings upon this child. There he was. There was their Savior, their Lord, their Emmanuel. Oh, they just looked at him and inside, oh, they were taking him up in the arms of their faith. They didn't take him up outwardly. But inwardly, oh, they feasted upon him. Wouldn't you like to do that? Haven't you ever feasted on him sometimes under the means of grace, under the ministry of the word? Hasn't he ever been brought to your eyes of faith and you've beheld something of the beauty? Oh, the loveliness of this Jesus, and you said inside, he is altogether lovely. Oh, may God grant that every soul listening to me may know something of what I'm speaking about. And these shepherds, they were so filled that they couldn't speak. Have you ever been so filled inwardly that you couldn't say anything? So overjoyed, so assured inside that God loved you, that you were his child for a few moments. Oh, that there was no doubt, no fear, no unbelief, anything whatever of yourself, but everything was of God for a few minutes. So it was with these shepherds. They just feasted on this child. And after they had been done feasting, they began to speak unto Mary and unto Joseph. They began to make known what had taken place out there in the field, what a vision they had had, and what an angel had said of this child. Oh, they began to warble forth his praises to Mary and to Joseph. And oh, you may be sure that Mary, the mother of this child, oh, she took every word in. All this was for the confirmation of her faith, too. For here she had brought this child in the world. And now God in his love and mercy had sent these shepherds to her to tell her and to assure her that he was the Savior. Oh, and these shepherds, when their mouths went open and their tongues went loose, oh, how they praised and glorified this child lying in this manger. Oh, my hearers, my time is gone. This is a wonderful subject, a subject I would like to go on with. But time calls me to close. Oh, that this Jesus, whose birthday we are celebrating this very day, may appear unto each and every one of us. Yea, that it may be, as the Apostle Paul says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, to reveal his Son in me. Oh, that God may separate everyone listening to me for this wonderful blessing to reveal his Son in you, and you will be wealthy. Beyond any wealthier person in this world, you will be rich for time and eternity. God bless the feeble instruction given this afternoon to your immortal soul. That's all.